Good morning. Welcome to Glassell Park. This is a special meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is September 16th, 2024. Board meeting will be conducted in person and all public comments will be taken in person only. And each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Carolyn, sitting in for Takesha, can you call for the roll?
Will do, Madam President. President Semerl.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Hutton. Commissioner Lloyd.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Christy,
we have quorum.
Thank you. Commissioner Tran did send me a note. He'll be here at 9:37. This is an informational board meeting to give us an update on the progress on reimagining the Griffith Park Pony Ride site and future use alternatives. Before we hear from our presentation, we'll move to public comment on this informational board report. Carolyn, will you please conduct the public comment?
Will do, President Semerl. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have any further comments, you may send them to our WRAP inbox at wrap.commissioners@lacity.org. The first three constituents, Natty Casanova, Todd LaVerge, Sandra Bale.
Heat in any kind of animal model going forward. One of the things that's on this list of other potential things coming to this area is, why bring back an animal model and have that be your legacy when we need to be teaching children to be kinder to animals, to not exploit them, not to use them at their expense of their health? Why are we teaching kids to not be kind to animals? When you can have your legacy be bringing something unique like the ropes or another museum. I know I would visit a museum 100 times. We have an opportunity here to create something amazing that the community actually wants. We've already spoken and said no animals. To bring animals back would be absurd. You would hear from the community again, but it will not happen. The option must not include animals, period. It's cruelty. We can have a fun, entertaining time and experience for young children, older children, the community at large, without bringing any kind of animals into the situation that would teach others in our community that it's okay to just use them for our pleasure, despite
Thank you for
it
your
affecting
time.
Their health. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Todd LaVerne, Equine Advisory Committee. Just want to let you know that we appreciate you guys. The Equine Advisory Committee is open to help you guys deal with mental health. We want to use equine therapy, which is the best therapy for children, adults, especially our special needs clients. So feel free to contact us. Work together with us. We want to help the city of Los Angeles deal with mental health. That's all I have. Thank you.
Sandra Bale.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here again to speak out for keeping animal models out of the Griffith Park space. There are so many other creative things that have been offered and suggested and been considered. Hoping you'll go with those, find out what families, I'm sure you've already done that, find out what families like and what children would be enjoying and learning and being physically fit, because sitting on a horse doesn't really keep you physically fit. There are things that can be done that would use the energies of the children and not teach them to use a non-human animal for just a few minutes of sometimes pleasure, sometimes not, because a lot of the children, especially the ones on the turnstile, were crying and didn't want to be there. So I think it would give more of a choice to people of what they want to do as families with the children. And I think that is important, that the parents can take part as well and be part of it. I don't know why we would ever take pony rides out and then put them back. It doesn't make sense. The turnstile needs to be gone. It shouldn't even be on the planet. I watched it too often, and I saw so much waste of time and suffering of the animals and not enjoyment from the children, not teaching them to be relating to the animal at all, because most every parent just took pictures and never even had the child relate to the animal for 1 second. They never looked the animal in the face, most of them, because I was there every Sunday for hours. And most of the children were not taught to interact with the animals. And I think it's teaching children that that's what animals are for. They don't have feelings. We're just supposed to use them. And then we go on with our life while they stand there and do the same thing over and over. So anyway,
thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sake Koyama, Joy Boyajin, and Don Gustavo.
Good morning. My name is Sakai Koyama. I'm with the Friends of Elysian Park, but I speak on my own behalf today. Thank you, commissioners, for this very special meeting and this thorough and lengthy report on the Griffith Park pony rides. It's been a long and tumultuous 22 months. I think it's safe to say we are all anxious for a resolution. The board report clearly shows the desire to bring back the Griffith Park pony rides to the community where it belongs. An equestrian lifestyle that is quickly disappearing in our tech-filled world, getting kids off of screens. Animal use is not animal abuse. We know there are responsible ways to care for ponies. Live animal interaction is essential to teaching children true empathy. Griffith J. Griffith deeded this land to the city of Los Angeles specifically for the purpose of children of all income levels to have access and enjoy a live experience. Please bring back the pony rides. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Joy Boyajin, and I actually have a degree in animal husbandry. I'm a retired nurse practitioner, so my life has been dedicated to caring for living beings of all kinds. And I would say that they bring back the pony rides. It doesn't make sense to be an extremist one way or the other. And in the hospital, you know, we bring live animals in, dogs and pets for patients for healing. And so it's not a plastic animal. It's a live entity that people can touch and feel and relate to. And I just want to say how important that is, especially now with the mental health crisis of our country and especially kids. The other thing I'd like to say is that, you know, I was there and we actually had to wait. I had family from out of the country. We actually had to wait an hour while they rested the horses. And having had a horse, I never saw any kind of abuse with them pawing, throwing their heads, pacing, anything like that. And I would say that it's just, it's a necessary entity that we can have life back in our plastic world to relate to again and to bring humanity back. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Don Gustafson. I'm one of the managing members of the Griffith Park Train Lines. I'm here with one of my partners, Louis Salutis. Louis and I have been working and operating in the park for 35 years, over 35 years now, at the corner of Los Feliz and Riverside, operating the miniature train ride. During that period of time, there have been three different pony ride operators, the last of which, from our point of view, compared to the prior ones, was really, really good. But I'm not going to advocate one way or another to you. What I would like to advocate for are the hundreds of thousands of families who have created memories at Griffith Park on the train rides and the pony rides, including my family's, probably some of yours. And hundreds of thousands of photo albums, you can find photos of children on the ponies, children riding the trains. The pony rides and the train rides, we are known, by the way, that location for our train rides is known as a pony ride train ride. We've been out there for over 75 years, since 1948. But the making of those new memories has slowed substantially since the closure. The first months after the closure, we were bombarded with questions and complaints about where are the ponies, why were they closed, which, of course, we referred to the Parks Department. And since then, it's been 22 months, I was thinking a year and a half, 22 months.
Thank you for your time.
We still get questions.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Lisa Baca, Gina Cruz, and Melinda Peters.
Good morning, Commissioners and General Manager Kim. My name is Lisa Baca, Los Angeles Equestrian Coalition. The journey from December 2022 and the closure of the 75-year-old Griffith Park Pony Rides to today, September 16th, 2024, has been a long one. Supporters of live pony rides at Griffith Park have walked this journey with you every step of the way. We have followed RAP's two-year public process, attending meetings, investing thousands of hours of public comments, writing statements, preparing the formal Pony Experience 3.0 proposal, and watching while over $200,000 of taxpayer monies were invested with the PlaceWorks consultants. On page 84 of the final report, you can see the extensive outreach efforts of the pop-up booths, focus groups, meetings, online surveys, public comments, and online surveys of the Los Angeles residents to reach today's results. The efforts made by Wendy Norwalk and PlaceWorks are to be commended for being open, fair, transparent, and most of all, inclusive of everyone's voice. The findings are now irrefutable. The bottom line on page 21 of the FM3 research report clearly states that 7 in 10 respondents who are City of Los Angeles residents are in favor of bringing back the pony rides at Griffith Park. In 2022, RAP gave Steve Weeks 6 weeks to clear his business off of the Griffith Park pony ride site. It is our sincerest hope that today RAP will move forward with the same 6-week urgency and put a new plan in motion to restore live ponies at the historic Griffith Park pony rides and do the repairs that are recommended in the report today. Thank you very much.
Morning, commissioners. My name is Gina Cruz. I'm with the Los Angeles Equestrian Coalition, and I'm also an equestrian from the San Fernando Valley. The results of the survey are in. It's clear the people of Los Angeles want their pony rides back. So now let's work on coming up with a new pony ride that prioritizes animal welfare, but gives the children of Los Angeles the experience with live ponies that they very much desire and need. I want to remind you that the equestrian world can be a very elite world. Horses are expensive, and a lot of children in Los Angeles don't have the ability to pay for a $70 pony lesson or trail ride, or they can go even be more than that. So I want you to remember that the low income and especially minority children of Los Angeles, the pony ride was their only opportunity to ever experience live ponies. Let's bring that experience back for all the children of Los Angeles. Thank you.
My name is Melissa. I'm a resident of Los Feliz. So much of our world today, and particularly for young people, is virtual and digital. I'm an animal lover. I think many people in our community are. And how are kids going to be exposed to real life animals if we don't facilitate that? I think with proper oversight, which I know is an issue in many departments in our city, with proper oversight, I think we could see that animals are handled respectfully, educationally, in terms of the kids and families, and that parents as well as children from all income levels stand to benefit from the involvement of real live animals. Thank you.
Peter Whiskey, Christina Kay, and Jean Gilbert.
First time, sorry. Dear commissioners, my name is Peter Whiskey. I'm a passionate park user, often volunteering my time for good causes. I only became aware of this meeting Friday and read the consultant's report over the weekend. As such, please forgive me if the comments I'm about to make have already been addressed elsewhere. In my opinion, the consultant's report does a good job of surveying the community and reimagines some more obvious solutions. However, to my reading, it fell short, as it appeared to overlook the most obvious candidate befitting a consistency of vision for Griffith Park, and more importantly, the one with the resources necessary to make it work. The elephant in the room, which appears to have been overlooked, is what, if any, outreach was done to investigate a partnership with the LA Zoo. To me, the space appears as an ideal candidate for a satellite branch of the zoo, especially now as it moves forward with its expansion towards becoming a world-class facility befitting of what Angelenos desire and deserve. So how would I reimagine the LA Zoo's involvement in the space? As a satellite station, it would promote outreach in a safe environment with some of the zoo's inhabitants. Some examples might be bird handlers, ostriches, tortoises, or koalas. How might it address the historic pony ties? It might partner with the equestrian center or a community to help further equine education to the benefit of all park visitors. Some examples, mini ponies, working horses, such as the LAPD, Rangers, and others use, might also partner with animal rescue. Such partnerships could entertain both static and dynamic programming components, extension of the zoo's existing outreach budget, also incorporating some elements of the proposed nature center. It would invite new marketing and revenue opportunities by way of a fixed portable or pop-up gift shops. It'd tie into the existing Griffith Park brand. More importantly, it would have the resources and backing of a long-term Griffith Park partner to hold to the standards that this site deserves. In summary, I'd like the commissioners to consider expanding the scope of reimagination to sufficiently resourced partners. Which
thank you for your time.
A broader interest. Thank you.
Hello. So please do not bring back the animal model business to Griffith Park. Just real quick, I've been there and I've seen each of these, actually the geriatric horses, having an employee next to them, clapping and scaring them to run. So this was pretty clear that these animals did not want to run. They work 6 days a week, over 10 hours a day. So that's part of it. And I'm also skeptical of all the equestrian proposing to have an animal-based business. I mean, I was thinking about on the way here is that, you know, they have a lot to gain to create young people into going into the equestrian business. I mean, you have to rent stables, you have to buy horses, you have to get trainers, you have to do the whole, you know, equestrian business. And those who are proposing to not use animal model have nothing to gain but the welfare of animals. We have no business that will feed into this. We're just creating more empathetic folks. And the argument about, well, we need access to animals to let children and families, you know, be able to learn from them and be with them. These animal businesses are actually on the side of more exploitation. There's not much education going on. I mean, these kids actually go out there and they disregard what the animals are feeling. Hot, thirsty, don't want to run. I just don't see a lot of education. Instead, there are numerous animal sanctuaries in Los Angeles County, in Los Angeles City, that are wonderful, large, clean animal rescue sanctuaries that charge very minimal. And they are actually have tours and guides that tell the families about each animal, what their story is, how they were injured, how they're rehabilitated, what their names are, what they like to eat, what
they don't.
Thank
you for your time.
So here's a whole list I'd be happy to send out. Thanks.
Morning, Commissioners and General Manager Kim. My name is Jean Gilbert. I am a founding member of the Equine Advisory Committee, former member of the Griffith Park Advisory Board, and committee chair of the Atwater Village Neighborhood Council Equine Committee. I have spoken before on this subject. The innocent victims here are the children of Los Angeles of modest means who have no longer have access to living creatures. This is essential. The children looked forward to this. And for people of modest means, it was a rare treat they could provide for their children and afford to provide it. It gave them a special feeling, a feeling of dignity and pride that they could provide something like this. There was never any abuse or neglect of the animals found by the veterinarian who was selected and visited the ponies twice. There was never any question of that. It is just an unfortunate situation that now people are suggesting going to sanctuaries, the zoo, of course. Those are expensive. $16 when you're 3 years of age is a lot of money for your parent who earns $20 an hour. And simply just to see the animals, not to participate with them, not to have an opportunity to really relate to them. And the animals, honestly, if properly used, enjoy their work. I have seen animals drop their head down for a child to welcome them because they understand that the child wants to know more about them, wants to relate to them. And this is something that is so essential. We know that domestic abuse comes from animal abuse, and then animal abuse often is because children have not been involved with living creatures. Modest income people cannot afford to feed a cat, let alone a pony. And these children lack this interaction with living creatures, which is essential for their well-being and for the growth and success of our community. I urge you to return not only the pony rides, but to expand this experience into an educational one relating to animals.
Thank you.
This is a rare opportunity. Please seize it.
Sabrina Silver, Tiffany Brunel, and Sherelle Cunell.
Hello, Commissioners, General Manager. Sabrina Silver, I'm a member of the Equine Advisory Committee, former Vice President. Thank you for your considered for being considerate about what people do and don't want and how best to use the space. I believe bringing ponies back for a pony ride and expanding it to an educational opportunity about pony care, animal welfare, and animal needs, as well as other, perhaps even more, would be the best use of the site. The survey does show that people overwhelmingly want to be able to ride ponies. We have an opportunity here to create something really extraordinary, animal interactions with education that would that and the pony ride. We have an opportunity to present people education about animal care, about animal needs, and about interaction with them and handling them in a thoughtful and respectful way. There is science about animal welfare and also animal behavior. And it is important that people learn from people who are knowledgeable about what the animal's behavior means. For example, a pony with a lowered head could be completely relaxed and enjoying itself. That is the animal signaling. And it is important that misinformation not be spread. We're living in a world with very few opportunities for animal interaction, especially for people with modest means, as has been said. And I agree, this is really, it's unfortunate that children of modest means have lost this 22 months, but there's an opportunity now to reinstate it so that they will be able to experience
Thank you for your time.
And learn about them. Thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. You know me, you know where I stand. So I'm going to make this short. The statistically valid poll found that 7 out of 10 respondents favored bringing back the pony rides. That's 70%. Only 6% opposed any kind of animal model. The Montebello Barnyard Zoo is sweet. I've been there. I loved it. But what I think we've learned is that educating the public about animals, both domesticated and wild, is key. So I would like to see equine therapy included. I would like to see a small nature center where people can learn how to live with the animals around us, coyotes, et cetera, stuff like that. And I do think you need to realize what the man from the train ride said. I've lived in Los Feliz for over 25 years, took my daughter there when she was little. You went to the train rides and the pony rides. It was the place to go for kids of a certain age. And there's Shane's inspiration, which is fabulous. But for the littles, this is where you went and people came from everywhere to go there. Thank you so much. Been a long ride, guys.
Hi, my name's Tiffany Bernelli and I'm an LA voter right down the street. And thank you for giving us this chance to do the public comments today. Let's reimagine a space that doesn't involve animal cruelty. 75 years of tradition and supporting animal cruelty, there's just no excuse for that anymore. We've evolved beyond this. I know everybody has those little pictures with the ponies, but let's take into account how the ponies feel, indentured servants going around and around all day. And I hear people say, well, they were well cared for. People said that about slaves too, or they were well cared for. They don't have a choice. These ponies have no say in what they can do. That we have a list of about 25 sanctuaries here. They have sliding fee scales. They take children out there, and you actually get to interact with the animals. How can watching a horse go around and around be any kind of therapy? Or even learning about ponies. What do you learn? They poop and they go around and around. So let's move beyond the circuses are getting, they're no longer having animals. We don't see roadside attractions. We're beyond a animal model. We're LA, we're progressive. Let's move forward. And I see over here, you even have some vegan options. It looks like you're moving forward with not supporting animal cruelty. We're better than this. There's so many, let's start a new tradition of taking photos of a place that doesn't involve harm to the animals and the cost of housing the animals. How can that, it all comes down to, I believe, following the dollar. So we'd like you to reimagine a space that doesn't involve any animal cruelty and let's move forward like the rest of the country. Thank you.
Rebecca Beach, Liz Ratley, and Sam.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Rebecca Beach, and I want to thank you for hiring PlaceWorks. Thank you, PlaceWorks, for your report and especially for your statistically valid opinion poll. This is the kind of data I have intuitively known was true, and I've talked about at meetings for nearly 2 years. I am so gratified to see it here. We have finally heard from an ethnically and racially diverse cross-section of LA respondents, which looks like the LA I know and have lived in my whole life. 70% of respondents want the pony rides back. Only 6% of respondents want a non-animal model. The people have spoken. Please listen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Liz Radley. I'm the administrator for the Burbank Glendale Griffith Park Equestrians. It's a community group of about 9,000 people. And right after the pony rides closed, about 1,000 of those people joined immediately to say how much they were upset that that opportunity had gone. But in talking to a lot of those people, what seems to be the situation is we're really in that same transition point between like the old zoo and the new zoo. So the traditional idea of the pony rides where the kids stand in line with no interaction and no learning, followed by being lifted on the ponies and just going around, that would be the old zoo. So now we have an opportunity for a new, better, improved situation where we clearly make sure that the welfare of the animals is carefully balanced. We should have an oversight committee to make sure that happens so that accidentally the profit motive doesn't overcome the wish for the animals to be well treated. Really the ideal situation, I think, is you know, with the new weather situations we have, is where the ponies are working should be in shade, both for the kids, the ponies, and the people with them, to have those ponies be hand-led. So that takes care of a situation which is kinder for the animals. But even before that, let's have the kids standing in line, learning about the ponies there through displays and audio and things like that. And then when they get to the ponies, meet the ponies, pet the pony, learn the pony's name, what does this pony like? How old is this pony? Things like that. So that the educational opportunity is not just plunking them on a pony and they go around, but learning about training and welfare. This applies really to all animals, the same thing with dogs, that if they learn in a structured opportunity how to get consent from the animal.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sam. I am an elected member of LACDP, Los Angeles County Democratic Party for District 49. UN has declared that we're now living in the era of global boiling. Last month, we all received daily excessive heat warnings on our phones. We're experiencing temperature rise, and it will only get worse every year. So why are we forcing animals to wear heavy gears and work as manual laborers in this excessive heat, just so that adults can have a photo op? How superficial. This is not compassion for animals. This is not the type of interactions for children to have with animals. This is all for the sake of vanity by using and abusing ponies. How can anyone in good conscience believe that this is kindness and compassion to animals when we force these ponies who have a thick coat of fur and they have to wear 30 pounds of gear, and on top of that, carry maybe a 60 to 80 pound child on their backs, nonstop going around in circles? How is this showing kindness and compassion to animals? I'll tell you what this is. This is all about adults getting a photo opportunity with their kids on top of their animals so that they can frame it on their wall and say, oh, look how cute my child is in this cowboy gear or on top of a horse. Isn't that so cute? All at the expense of animal suffering. How is this teaching kindness and compassion to our children about how to take care of animals? This is the opposite of kindness and compassion. This is being self-centered. This is telling kids that it's okay to make animals do whatever you want and not what the animals want. Animals are here with us, not here to entertain us. After July's RAP meeting, a woman came to me and asked.
Thank you for your time. Emily Bollenbeck, Zora Fahim, and Monica Horn.
Good morning. I'm an LA constituent, and I would like to address the upcoming vote on what to do with the now vacant space at Griffith Park. Any live animal model for Griffith Park is not a sustainable model for longevity. Beginning with daily upkeep, feeding, quarters for the animals, on-call specialty veterinarians, there's also the additional cost of carrying liability insurance specific to lawsuits for injuries sustained when these maligned animals invariably rebel. It is a money pit. An alternative idea would be to build upon the recreation infrastructure that already exists in the park. Begin with pickleball courts, playgrounds, artist corners, similar to what Santa Monica replaced their live animal model with, and continue to improve and expand for years to come with minimal expense that does not send your P&Ls into a spiral of disarray, and allocating resources to many more programs in the community that could use the benefit of your support. Education centers are always a plus, but live animals do not belong in them. We are continuing to evolve into a world where sanctuaries are heralded and championed for, shedding all concepts of enslavement to be left in the past. Personally, as an active rescuer and yes, an equestrian, I would never subject those in my care to the daily onslaught of being handled and ridden by so many strangers every day in an attempt to procure a profit. The math will never add up for profit at the expense of another, at least not without severe abuse. Is that really the education we want to give to children to teach them that abuse is ever justified? Please consider leaving behind a better legacy instead of repeating the same deplorable acts. Also, I do want to say horses always want to be helpful. My horse has always picked me up to put on his back. They do this because they trust us, and using them for profit breaks that trust. Please do better. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Zora Fahim, president and founder of Los Angeles Alliance for Animals. Why has Recreation and Park placed pony rides, petting zoos, a sanctuary as an acceptable model when you've already had thousands of LA voters reach out to you for a non-animal model since 2021? No sanctuary operator would do business with you. Sanctuaries are for sick, injured animals. Animal-centric, not human-centric. Sanctuaries always ask for money because they don't do this work for profit. Your concession is for profit. It's like comparing apples to oranges. They don't match. And then you have pony rides after I suspect your operator to be engaging in criminal operation and a death camp for ponies. What was handed to Rec and Park today is a previous cease and desist letter. We are no longer providing cease and desist letters. Recreation Park and Councilmember Rahman, we are going to file lawsuits because these operations do not abide by state and local law. I'd like to put that on record. Concessionaires who operate animal models, cut corners, are human-centric, and don't consider the safety of animals and children, and we suspected Stephen Weeks to do that. That's why I have all these pages of ongoing violations, small print, back to back. And then you have pony rides after what I want to make clear is Stephen Weeks represents all operators. That's why Santa Monica City Council did not renew the pony rides, petting zoo contract, Paris banned pony rides, Florida eliminated pony rides at their festival due to abuse and more. And for all we know, those ponies could be at a slaughterhouse. We just don't know about it. That was the result of your previous animal model. This is a picture of a pony that was on the turnstile for almost 7 hours with no water being forced and overworked. These will be the last animals you exploit.
Thank you for your time.
Good morning. My name is Monica Horn, and I'm a longtime equestrian here to support the return of the pony rides. And I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time and putting in the effort to make this an even more responsible and enjoyable experience for children and their families. Thank you.
Katie Seneca and Colleen Stratton.
My husband says, you want those pony rides back, right? Yeah. Because I am a Los Angeles person. I was born in Los Angeles. I took equestrian riding at East LA College for a couple of years, rode over on Western, the stables over there. I took my daughters over here to ride at the pony rides. They had a great time. Maybe it wasn't a good day for them. But from a person who has learned about horses, I don't own a horse. But, you know, it's a good experience for kids to learn and parents as well. I suggest this area be dedicated to teaching parents and children how to handle that. Hot days, don't have the ponies go out. There's solutions. Put a canvas over if the sun is too hot because of climate change. There are ways to resolve it without taking them away from Griffith Park. Griffith Park was given to Los Angeles, and I think it should be given to everyone in Los Angeles. It's a beautiful park, and I think it's sustainable by those who do desire to have this. We have the LA Zoo. I know that elephants have died in the LA Zoo, okay? And you take your kids there. I'm sure you've been there. Have a hamburger. Have you seen horses, how they're treated, and cattle?
Excuse me, ma'am.
On the issue. But anyway, there's inequities that happen along everywhere. Okay? It's not a perfect world. But to take that away from young children and families, as someone has pointed out, to people who can't afford to go spend $15 a head for each family member to do something, it's a lot of money. Maybe not to you, but to some people it is. And that has provided a place of memories, not just pictures, but through those pictures, you have created memories, and they're deep memories. Okay, good to take it away.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Colleen Stratton, and I want to thank you for holding this meeting and doing the research to learn what the people of Los Angeles really want. 70% of the people of Los Angeles have voted to bring back the pony rides, and I hope you will do that. When I was a little girl, my father took me to a pony ride, and it changed my life. And I've had a horse. I've had three horses in my life, and I became an artist as a result of my love of horses. It's frustrating for me to listen to some of this, the people who are against bringing back a live pony rides. And they don't really know much about horses, and they're a minority. And I just hope that you will listen to the majority of people who want to bring back pony rides. And there's a way to do it in a way that makes, that's much, you know, more improved and like with a cover and, anyway, thank you so much. I'm in favor of bring back pony rides.
Peter Kearns.
Good morning, everyone. I'm speaking solely as a member of the Los Angeles public, and I'm speaking solely on my own behalf. So these are solely my opinions and what I think. I do think it is very surprising that Los Angeles does not have any public rock climbing walls. And that is something that I know was in the survey and something like that. So just advocating for that, I think that the adventure zone / rock climbing area is a very cool idea and something that Los Angeles could really benefit from. Thank you.
Madam President, there are no further requests for public comment.
Thank you. And I think with that, we'll move to the presentation. We'll move to the presentation from our consultant.
Brenda.
Brenda has a, what she's going to introduce the
Good morning, the commissioners. Good morning, everyone. So obviously, we all know that we're here to receive the results of the report. We just want to remind everyone that this report is informational. We will not be taking action this morning. And without further ado, I want to introduce the PlaceWorks team. We have Ms. Wendy Novak. Go ahead and take it away.
Good morning, President Simrell and members of the board. It is a pleasure to be back before you. This is our third time, and we have some new information to share. This is kind of the culmination, as you've heard from some of the prior speakers, of a lot of conversations with the community. And so without further ado, I will move forward. When we were brought on by the RAP team, our charge was to talk to the community, to get their feedback about what they would like to see on the site, and also to find out if they're, to provide some examples of other locations of folks that are doing some different things or some of the same things and what that looks like and how that could apply to Griffith Park. And so as part of our charge, we also did a historic resources assessment of the existing structures that are on the site. So if there were any reuse, but what that would mean. We've held focus group meetings, community workshops, pop-ups. And today the large chunk of our presentation will be related to information coming out of the public opinion poll and the online survey, as all the other things have been available on the website for quite some time. And so the public opinion poll and the report are kind of the new things. And then the best practices research that I talked about. We will provide an overview of these results and the high level takeaways that we have heard and are summarized in the report. I am joined by my colleagues, Dr. we're coming forth today and throughout all of the outreach and fun. I mean, I think that's a bottom line thing of anything for a park is that it should be fun. The other considerations that are really hard to see in that far right, but we're looking at compatibility with other uses in Griffith Park and how it plays into the big picture as a whole. Prioritizing local and regional users versus visitors, looking at cost, the maintenance and operations, all of it, what it would take to bring in a new use. And then lastly, it would be the time frame for implementation. As you've heard some folks comment, you know, everybody's anxious to see something happen at the site. We did conduct quite a bit of outreach, and I say we as a collective effort between the PlaceWorks team, FM3, and RAP. With the original, when the pony rides originally closed down, the city received over 1,000 public comments, and several focus group meetings were held with different organizations throughout the city. city that represent, you know, both sides of the conversation. Pop-up booths were held throughout the city, all over in different parks, Lincoln Park, Pan Pacific Park, Discovery Cube, Westchester, Sherman Oaks, Castle Park, Westwood, Expo Center. So wanted to make sure that we were out there, boots on the ground, talking to folks where they were. And then a community workshop was held and had, you know, over 100 participants. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the statistically valid and telephone survey as well. Can you click, Jesse? It's getting stuck forward. Thank you. So how did we get to this point and to the information that was in the public opinion poll? We took all of those public comments, the information from the focus groups, the pop-ups, the community open house, and we came up with the questions that were in the statistically valid opinion poll and that were also shared through the online survey. So all of this information was very helpful, taking all of that feedback, the open-ended feedback, and then starting to narrow it down to the types of uses that people repeatedly started to talk about and really ask their opinions about it. So when we talk about the statistically valid opinion poll and online survey, you know, why are there two? There's two things going on here. In the statistically valid opinion poll, there were 564 people that participated. So those folks were either directly called or were sent a exclusive invite just to one person on an email to be able to respond to a survey that would fall into the statistically valid survey. The same survey that was used in that cohort for the statistically valid respondents, the email survey, was also then, once the statistically valid survey was completed, was made available to the general public. So that way others that wanted to participate in the survey could do so as well. And there are about 4,600 responses to that survey. The benefits of a statistically valid opinion poll are that you do have representation from various areas of the city, that you can talk to people that you wouldn't necessarily, maybe wouldn't know about the pony rides, know about what's going on. So it's kind of that random access to people to really gauge what the broader community is thinking about. And if there is a question about, okay, well, we've got 564 here responses and 4,600 here, does that make a difference if we got more responses in one or the other? And the way that a statistically valid poll is set up is that, for example, here, if you did, if you reached out to the same number of people, if you did the 500 survey constituents and you did that survey 8 more times, you would still have the same level of results and the types of results that you're getting from a statistically valid response. So there's validity there. So, and then both of them were offered in Spanish. So what we found is with the statistically valid survey, you had 22 folks that chose to take that survey or talk on the phone in Spanish. And the self-selected survey, nobody chose to do that in Spanish. Now, it could be they are bilingual and just chose to take it in English, but we don't know. We don't know why they chose one way or the other. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Richard Bernard, and he will talk about the conclusions of the opinion survey.
And commissioners, as Richard comes up, I just want to remind the public that copies of the report are available in the back corner as you came in.
Good to go. Good morning. I won't spend a lot of time thanking everyone. Obviously, I'll use Wendy's thank you to extend to you as well. My charge, or my firm's charge, was to test awareness and opinions. It was not to create messaging and convince anything of anything. That was my charge. I want to start. Next slide, please. So I'll start with the survey methodology. We conducted the survey between January 28th and February 4th. It was a dual mode survey, which means a random portion of the respondents took the survey on the phone and a random portion took the survey online. In fact, 45% took it on the phone. We interviewed 564 City of Los Angeles residents who are 18 years of age and or older.
The margin of error for questions asked of everyone is plus or minus 4.4. Some cases we had very long items, the batteries of items, and in a few cases we may have split the sample into a random sample of half. There, the margin of error is a little larger. We contacted folks by telephone, email, and text. I'll just make one correction that was just stated. In fact, this survey, 13% of the respondents took the survey in Spanish. On the non-statistical survey, only 22 people took the survey in Spanish. And if you're very quick on math and notice something doesn't quite equal 100%, I blame that entirely on rounding. Next slide. I want to start a little bit with demographics. We made sure that the demographics of the respondents mirrored the demographics of the adult population in the city of Los Angeles. And so 50% identified as male, 48% as female, 1% non-binary, and 1% opted not to tell us what their gender was. Next slide. By age, you can see the breakdown by age. They represent the adult demographics of the city. 61% were 18 years of age to 49, and 37% were 50 plus. Not everyone opted to tell us their age. Next slide, please. It was, of course, very important to also ensure that the demographics of race and ethnicity represented the city of Los Angeles. And here, close to half identified, and this was self-identified as Hispanic or Latino, 9% African American, or consider themselves Black, 12% API, 27% white, and the balance identified as another ethnic group or multiracial or ethnic. And as I mentioned, 13% had chose to take the survey in Spanish. It was available both online and on the phone in Spanish and English. Next slide, please. These demographics demonstrate the areas of the city that the respondents resided in. We knew their address based on how we pulled the sample. And you could see 36% represented the folks in the Valley, 64% were non-Valley. And just because it's important that Griffith Park is located in District 4, 6.64% of the respondents came from District 4. So we had a representative representation across the city. Next slide, please. I want to start a little bit very briefly about awareness of Griffith Park and visitors' behavior, because in the city, we have this amazing park, I think, to that everyone can agree on. We asked whether the respondents had ever visited Griffith Park. 87% initially said they had. Then we listed a number of attractions and features of the park, and that number went up to 98%. So in fact, some folks had been to Griffith Park, but didn't even realize that they had been there. Two-thirds report that they were very or somewhat familiar with Griffith Park. 73% have a favorable view of Griffith Park. Only 6% have an unfavorable view. Among those who originally had said they had been to Griffith Park, 4 in 10 had visited in the last year, and most had visited 2 or more times. And 4 in 10 are likely to visit Griffith Park in the near future. So your decision will be important because it will impact a large percentage of Los Angelinos or Angelinos. Next slide, please. So now I want to focus on why we're here today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the awareness of the pony rides. Next slide. Thanks. 6 in 10 said they were aware of the pony rides in Griffith Park. And of those, 6 in 10 were aware that the pony ride was closed. And as other folks had mentioned, it had closed December 21st of 2022. So in total, 4 in 10 of all respondents are aware of the closure in the, of adult Angelinos. Next slide, please. We asked of those people who said they were aware of the pony rides, have you or anyone in your household ever visited Griffith Park Pony Ride, whether that was recent years or when you were a child?
64% of folks who said they were aware of the pony ride said they had visited it. That makes it out to about 38% of all respondents, all adults in the city, have been to the pony rides. Next slide, please. Nearly 8 in 10 of those who had been to the pony rides said they had done so a number of times. 61% said they had not been there in the last 5 years. And 37% said they had. Next slide. We tried to figure out why folks went to the pony ride. So the folks who said they had visited the pony ride, we gave them some options and we accepted multiple responses. I went to the pony ride when I was a child. 1 in every 2 who had been to the pony ride said that. A close to 1 in every 2 said I took my own children to the pony ride. And 42% said I've been to the pony ride with friends or family. Those were some of the reasons. Again, they can be overlapping. Next slide. Next slide, please. So we started this section about what they would like to see in the pony ride site by using an open-ended question. We didn't want to bias them in terms of what they may want to see there. So we said the area where the pony ride was located is about the size of 2 football fields. What would you like to see in the space in Griffith Park? And these are their responses grouped in themes. The largest responses were pony rides, bring the pony rides back. That was 14%. Parks, playgrounds, picnic areas, 11%. Natural areas, open space, greenery, plants and trees, 9%. And you could see the balance. Some other ideas. Again, we accepted multiple responses. On the next slide, I just wanted to show you the vast number of ideas that came in. These items were 2% or less. And where you see the 0% for skating rink, train ride expanded equestrian horseback riding, there were folks who said those responses, but they didn't generate 1%. It was less than 1%. But we wanted to make sure that the vast number of ideas were expressed. The 8% that said others were one-offs. Was only mentioned one time. Yes.
That's a question on that slide. So yep. Previously you said that the survey respondents, 7 and 10, wanted the pony rides mm-hmm. back.
Actually, I haven't said that yet. It's the next slide.
I may be ahead of myself.
You are ahead, but go ahead.
But my question is, So you have 7 in 10 that want the pony rides back, but when they asked an open-ended question, only 14% offered that as an answer. Can you?
Sure. Yeah. So one is an open-ended question. So top of mind before we ask them whether they wanted the pony rides back. Many things can be true, right? I could have a preference for X. But when I ask you directly, would you like the pony rides back? You can say yes. So both are true. Sure. All right. So next slide, please. So here's the question. Thank you for setting me up. We asked everyone, would you favor or oppose offering pony rides for children in Griffith Park again? 70% said they would favor it, with 45% saying strongly favor. 16% said they would oppose, with 9% saying they strongly oppose, and 14% said they needed more information or they just didn't know. This is a straight up ask question, you know, no messaging on either side. Next slide. In the next 2 slides, you will see 15 proposals that were generated from all the outreach that PlaceWorks had done prior to the survey. And we asked people, we said, I'm going to read you a list of proposals that some people have suggested for how the site, once occupied by the pony rides in Griffith Park, could be used. And we gave them a scale of 1 to 7, where 1 is not at all appealing and 7 is very appealing. And we randomized how we gave them the list, so there was no bias for one item or the other. I've ranked it. The dark blue are the folks who said very appealing, that's 6 and 7. The bright blue is 5, so it's above the neutral, so it's somewhat appealing. And the gray is sort of neutral, neither appealing or not appealing. And the orange are the folks 1 to 3 that say it's not appealing or not at all, somewhat not appealing or not at all appealing. Of the 15 items, you could see on this top list here, 5 of them generate a mean score of above 5, and 6 of them generate 1 in every 2 or more saying very appealing, other 6 or 7. They include animal rescue, community gardens, museum or nature center, adventure course, pony rides. Those are the ones that top the list of items. And you could see the orange on the right-hand side are the folks who said that it was not appealing. Next slide, please. And so here's the balance of the list. And at the lower end, you've got expanding the park, train rides, 35% say that's a 6 or 7, a miniature golf, that's 6 or 7, sports courts and fields, that's again 6 or 7. They're all sort of 35% or less. I do want to point out that 3 out of every 4 feel that at least 4 or more proposals are appealing. So if you looked at all the responses for all people, 3 out of 4 could be happy with a number of those responses, not isolated on only one of them. Next slide, please. We then went back after they had heard all the options that were generated from the outreach prior to the survey, and we asked them the open-ended question again. What would they like? And in this case, having heard more options, we've got the educational, something for educational purposes, a center, indigenous nature, environmental, science, education, museum at 16%, animal sanctuary, animal rescue, something with animals, wildlife center, horse therapy, 13%, pony rides, bring them back at 12%. Next slide. So among the people who had said that they oppose in an earlier slide to bring back the pony rides, that was a question that was asked of me and then I mentioned it. That was 16% who opposed it. We asked them and we randomized the option. We asked them to tell us what statement comes closest to their opinion. 40% said, I support offering animal experiences where visitors can interact with the animals but not ride them. Again, these are the folks who opposed bringing back the pony rides. 20% said, I support offering animal experiences as long as visitors cannot touch the animals. And 21% said flat out, I'm opposed to any kind of animal experience at this site. 19% said they didn't know, they couldn't answer that question. And then finally, on the next slide, we took everyone together, all respondents, the 564. You'll recall 70% said that they favor offering the pony rides. And looking at the adding in the percentages to the whole entire set of respondents, 12% said I support offering animal experiences where visitors can interact with animals but cannot ride them. 6% said I support offering animals experiences as long as visitors cannot touch the animals. And 6% said I'm opposed to any kind of animal experience on that site. And then finally, next slide. The conclusions are you want to go back? Yeah.
My mic's not working. I have a question. Yep. Just on percentages.
Yep.
So on the animal rescue community garden slide, where you ranked a number of items, right? So here it says.
Do you want to tell me which slide that is just so that we.
There's not number. 24.
24.
24. Yeah, on slide.
Oh, it's this one. Okay.
So on slide 24.
Yeah.
The highest preferences there are non-pony rides. And then you have bring back the pony rides for children at 50%. And then if I look at the offering pony rides on page 28, it says it's 70% favor bringing pony rides back.
Right.
So how do you reconcile those numbers?
So, first of all, can we go back to that previous slide where just then we're going to jump around a little. This is one of two slides. So I want to be really clear.
Correct.
If you can go, all right. So you know it's in the top scoring things. And if you, the question was appealing versus do you support, do you favor or oppose bringing the pony rides back? So they're a little bit of a different.
Say that one more time.
Sure. The question that you're citing originally with the 70% is do you favor or oppose bringing the pony rides back? Yes, correct. This is an appealing question on a scale of 1 to 7. If I add in the 50 plus the 11, because it's above the neutral, that's that bright blue, we're at 61%. So it's a slightly different question. Again, the two can be, I can ask you a question in a variety of ways. So all right, I want to make sure I answered that question.
So just to go back. So
yeah. Yes.
So slide 24 and 25 is an appealing.
That's question. The question, right. That's
and
right.
That based on the statistics, 61% favor the pony ride.
61% find it appealing to them if that were one of the uses of that space.
Got it. And then the 70% is just a straight yes.
Straight up favor or oppose. That's
Thank
right.
You.
Yeah. Okay. So in conclusion, and I'm happy to answer all the questions, so I'm not going anywhere. All right. In conclusion, they're all documented in the report, but I wanted to focus on two verbally. One is the one that we keep referring to. 7 in 10 respondents favor bringing back the pony rides. However, most respondents find that more than one of those proposals on those two slides is appealing. In fact, 3 out of 4 were fine with 4 or more of those proposals. So there are a variety of options for you to consider. I know sometimes people would like me to say, all right, this is the silver bullet. Like, this is the obvious, there are different ways to look at the data.
So just so I understand that, so we understand that.
Yep.
So of the 61 who found it appealing, mm-hmm. bring back the pony ride.
Yeah.
They'd also find the other 4.
Many of the other ones, even more than on that slide, even in the other ones.
As just as appealing.
That's right.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. I'm going to pass it back to Wendy, but I'm here. Thanks.
Did anybody have another question on the data or the survey? No. Can I ask the audience to just be quiet and hold your comments to yourself, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're receiving data today. You've had your opportunity to give your public comment. We've noted it for the public record. We are now hearing from the consulting and getting questions from the commission so that we're well informed. So I'd ask yourself to please be quiet. If not, I'm going to have the officers remove you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you interrupt one more time, I'm going to have the security remove you. Thank you.
So the next slide provides an overview, just a general comparison of how the online survey responded, the participants of that online survey responded. And as you can see, the respondents, it's a little bit different demographic. In that case, we had 77% of the respondents were female. 56% of them are white. Almost half of them were, older the respondents. And the map that you see is kind of a heat map that shows the location of where the responses came from. So what it shows is that the largest number of responses are closest to the site. And that's not surprising when there's an online survey and it's word of mouth. It's, people getting out with their networks and people that are normally engaged with Griffith Park. So it's not surprising to see the location and, density of responses from where they are. There we go. It went too backwards. One more. other way. So overall, as Richard started to lay out, the general sentiments from the statistically valid opinion poll generally showed more support for a pony ride experience similar to the previous uses when you're looking at do you desire a pony ride use or not when you're asked explicitly about that question. When the publicly available online survey was done, it was a little bit less. So total in favor of a pony rides was a little less at 53%. And so it's just, you know, you start to see some of these like shifts in how people are responding. You know, what you're hearing, you know, from the audience today and a lot of what we heard when we were having conversations with folks is that generally participants agreed on the importance of animal health, safety, welfare. That is something that everybody wants to see looked out for. The core point of disagreement for everyone is whether or not a potential future use should have the presence of animals or not. Now, what you're hearing is the activists are, you know, advocating for a non-animal use that and don't support, you know, any of the animal uses that are being considered or have been listed as some of the things that the community has been weighing in on. And, you know, it's a lot to do with the confinement, the high stress. And the other argument is that, you know, if you have a profit-driven model, then that's not conducive to welfare of animals. So for instance, the thought was, and the feedback that we heard was, well, if you need to make sure that you're making a profit, then an example would be you need to have as many pony rides as possible to make sure it's a profitable use. So that's something, you know, the business-driven model is not something that is appealing because it seems like in their perspective, it does not look out for the welfare of the animals. Now, advocates for animal uses really highlighted the various considerations and options for best practices. Here are things that we can do better. Here are the things that the benefits to the community, either therapeutic or access to animals. We heard a lot of stories about I became a volunteer at a shelter or a rescue or other reasons because of this exposure I had at the pony rides. So there are benefits from their perspective on having an animal use. Now, when we get to the most appealing uses, which is what Richard was talking about, like what things appeal to you most? If something was coming, what would it be? And so I won't go through this the same, I'll highlight some of the same things that Richard had talked about, but when we looked at the statistically valid opinion poll, it was, you know, animal rescue, a community garden, indoor museum, or a nature center, like environmental science center, focus on, some other things like farm to table. So animal rescues came up twice because there's animal rescue from the native wildlife. So what do we see here in LA? And so it's really educational. I guess all rescues can be educational. But then the other animal rescue option out there was more of your typical farm animals or your raccoons or other things that you would see not out in native wildlife. The indoor and outdoor adventure area came up quite a bit with rope courses and rock walls and then bringing back the pony rides. There were also discussions about educational programs about the history of Los Angeles and indigenous peoples. There was discussion, and this is anecdotal, about, you know, maybe we could do something about P22 and honoring P22. And then other folks talked about interactions with horses, but no riding. When you look at the online public survey, the uses are almost the same. So the top, and don't look at the order on the left, but the top uses that were there were in order, animal rescue for native wildlife, animal rescue farm animals. So it's the same type of uses, but they're just a little bit different in order as to the ones that people want to see. So when you look at those top five or six, they're kind of a repeating theme.
And this was like the same sort of open-ended questioning on appealing uses?
Yeah, it was that we asked, we used the same, we took the same survey that was given and the statistically valid and said, here, you can do it now. We're just not, we don't have the, you know, Dr. Bernard behind it doing all the analysis. So when we get to the overall key takeaways from everything on the engagement, you know, most participants supported prioritizing low-cost youth and family
family-oriented activities. That was really important to them. Community members value Griffith Park as an open space, so that natural space is important. So like when you're seeing a rescue and you're looking at native wildlife or other things, we hear about how important Griffith Park is as kind of an escape from, you know, the urban environment. So you're really preserving some of that natural resource.
May I ask a question? On the first bullet point, it says that most participants supported prioritizing low-cost youth and family-oriented activities that support RAP stated priorities. Mm-hmm. Did we state them in the survey?
This is all engagement. So when we did the presentation, say at the community workshop, we talked about the different priorities. We did not talk about them explicitly in the survey. So this was between when you're looking at the feedback that we got about here's the RAP's priorities. And when you take the
comments, can you share with us what those priorities were you shared?
Yeah, at the very beginning. So they're the same.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. It's that third slide. Yeah. It's, you know, accessible those. So that resonated, those priorities resonated with everyone. Nobody challenged those. And the other interesting thing that came out of conversations were when Richard was talking, he was saying that there were multiple uses that people liked. So it might be more than one, but we were also hearing in the in-person conversations that people would also be open to mixing uses on a site. So maybe you could do a campus of some sort or, you know, I don't know, cluster some things to have more than one use if it made sense to do so. And I think that's it. I'll leave that there. And so at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Jesse. And so when you're hearing these like key themes of, you know, the uses that were rising to the top, she's going to provide some of those examples about what those look like and the considerations for what that might mean for Griffith Park.
Hello, to echo Richard and Wendy, thank you so much for having us and for letting us to work on this project with you all. As Wendy mentioned, I'm gonna talk about the future uses. So that's the end of the report that you all have. But to start that off, I wanna talk a little bit about the context of Griffith Park. So we heard from the community what some of those appealing uses might be. But what we also wanted to do is think about how do those uses fit in with Griffith Park and how would they be applied to this specific site? So just thinking about Griffith Park as a whole, where the site sits at that southeast entry to the park and some of the challenges, operational park challenges that currently exist. We specifically looked at the Griffith Park Safety and Transportation Improvement Project, looking at congestion issues along that east side and some of the recommended improvements to improve pedestrian and bicycle safety along that east side. The site sits at Crystal Springs Drive, which is kind of right along that corridor. I think I have a pointer. But thinking about what those will do in terms of improving access to the site for bicycles and pedestrians and how it also sits really close to mass transit. And so there might be a way for people to get to the site, how it's a really great opportunity for a potential use. We also looked at the site itself, what it could actually accommodate. The site is about 3.5 acres. It sits right at the entry to the park. It's a long, narrow site, so it has some really restrictive uses in terms of what could fit there. It also has a lot of existing infrastructure already. It was previously developed, so it has water, sewer, electricity. It also has parking. It has about 90 spots in the parking lot, 56 along Crystal Springs, as well as an overflow area to the north, which provides space for about 640 spaces. The site itself also has a lot of existing vegetation, which is great for shade. The trees are large, they're established. They also are part of what could potentially be preserved on the site for any type of use. The site is also, so Griffith Park as a whole is listed as a Los Angeles Historic Cultural Monument. That's Historical Cultural Monument number 942, which was established by the City of Los Angeles in 2009. In that application, the pony ride site itself was not identified with any contributing resources. As part of this study, we did do a historic structures report, which called out the site that could be contributing resources as part of that historic monument. And that includes the historic vegetation that's there. That's the redwood trees and the oaks that are there along the southern part of the site, as well as the pergola and the ticket booth, which are two smaller structures, and this riding ring that's shown here in the photo. So those structures are part, they're not listed in the application, but they are potentially contributing resources. Any modification or substantial modification would have to go through review by the City of Los Angeles Cultural Heritage Commission. Although they're not listed in there as a contributing resource now, it would be something we have to consider for future use.
Just to clarify first, contributing resource, so we are all understanding the nomenclature. That'd be great.
Yes. Again, this is a report that was completed by the Architectural Resources Group, which is a sub to our to PlaceWorks. So a contributing resource is something that would contribute to the four criterion that were established as that listing for the historic cultural monument. There are four criteria that met that need. And so the two that these relate to are when they were established, so when they were built, the time period, the period of significance, as well as who was the superintendent at the time, who was developing the park. And so there's four different criteria listed for the whole park, and these were built in the time that those were established.
And just to clarify, this is a city historic designation, not a federal historic designation.
It's a city designation, but they're required to meet the federal federal requirements of this Department of Interior.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the recommendations of the historic structures report have how you would do improvements to those contributing resources, not necessarily how you would remove them. All right. So with that context, thinking about the site itself and that there are competing things with the park itself and the site, we looked at the future. We looked at future case studies that are consistent with those that the survey that Richard went through. So those appealing, what was appealing, what was not appealing. So looking at those, we came up with seven examples that are in those criteria, and those are all summarized in the report. And I'm not going to go through each one, but I'm going to say what they are and kind of some of the major considerations. So going left to right, Eaton Canyon Nature Preserve, which is a project which is in Altadena, would represent that kind of wildlife interaction with wildlife that is native to the area, but there is no actual interaction with it. So it's a nature center where people could experience native wildlife, but not actually touch it. The facility is similar to Griffith Park in that it sits at the edge of a bigger preserve. It's different in that it connects directly via trails and a trail network. So you can leave the nature center and go directly out. The pony ride site is right at a busy road, so you don't have that direct connection to the trail network. It's also operated by Los Angeles County, which is not an operator, which is not a concessionaire. So there would have to be some sort of determination of how that would function in the future. The next example is the Gentle Barn in Santa Clarita. That represents a animal rescue where people are interacting with the animals, but they're not riding them. They're using them for therapeutic uses. This is a nonprofit facility that's operated primarily with funds from donations. It's a very expensive facility. The benefits of using the site for something like this is that you already have some of the resources that you need. You have some facilities for animals to live there, but the cost of operating it would be much higher than what you had previously at the pony rides. The Montebello Barnyard Zoo is most similar to the pony rides. It's a smaller facility, but closer inside. It's about 2 acres. At this site, there are pony rides offered, as well as other interactions with animals that are, you can pay for them. It's the most affordable of all of the options, and it operates through a concessionaire with the City of Montebello. The Underwood Family Farm in Ventura County is a large-scale agricultural farm. It's about 200 acres, which is a much bigger site than we have at Pony Rides. Some of the considerations around that is that agriculture was never done at Griffith Park, so it would be a really new use to bring that in. The community did talk about wanting to do agriculture or community gardening, so it's a new use, but people could be interested. Size-wise, a lot of the money for this project comes from selling the produce, so if you don't have a large space, you may not be able to actually make that revenue. The Orange County Ropes Course, again, this is a new use for Griffith Park. This is a small facility that operates at a campground. Aesthetically, it would look very different than anything else you have at the site. At your entryway, you'd have to consider what you think about that. Kind of coming into your site, you would see this big ropes course. It's also targeted to older youth, so it's not really for those younger children. It's really thinking about something from like 8 to 18, which again, there's not something at Griffith Park that's really targeting that audience. It would also not really use a lot of those historic resources that are there. You'd have to think about how to integrate those two types of things together. The Kids Space Museum in Pasadena is representing that indoor science education center. This is a facility that's really a kids museum, but focusing on STEM and environmental education. This is an indoor facility, so that would be the biggest kind of footprint on the site. Reusing the existing resources that are there probably wouldn't have much use for them in this type of use. It's also probably the most expensive to build and also the most expensive for someone to go to. The last example is the Mariposa Grove Welcome Center in Yosemite. And this one is included as a welcome center type example. It doesn't have interaction with animals. There's no animals there, but it would serve as a example of a welcome center where people kind of come to one spot and then go out into a larger park facility. Like this would be the entry to Griffith Park. It also has an example of a place where people could potentially park and get onto a shuttle. If the park line were to come back, this would be a great place that this could be the hub of the park line, and you could kind of continue your journey into Griffith Park as you're welcome to the facility. So some of the things that we wanted to highlight for these is that all of these are existing operations. And so they all kind of they would be very different with however you do them at Griffith Park. We wanted to think about what you need to consider for implementation. And so you could make anything happen here with money and time. Relative to each other, there's some of these are more expensive to build, to operate, and they take longer to do. So we kind of put them on a spectrum from less challenging to most challenging in terms of what would be the most expensive to build, what would be the most expensive to operate, and what could you build the quickest. So just thinking about kind of less challenging to more challenging, on the less challenging side is something like Montebello Barnyard Zoo, where you're reusing a lot of the resources that you have. You're working with a concessionaire to offer something that's relatively close in cost for the public to come use, kind of quicker to build and probably lowest capital improvement. Or like the Mariposa Grove Welcome Plaza, where you're really doing a low footprint facility using the white space that you have and probably low cost. Towards the middle, something more like the General Barn or the Family Farm, where you're kind of expanding footprint and working with a partner or an operator to really figure out the funding for how that would operate and work. Or something like the Eaton Canyon Nature Center, where you're also similarly looking for a partner to construct it. On the most challenging sides, you have things that really have really big footprints like Kid Space or the OC ropes course, because those would really require a big change in use. With that, I'm gonna turn it back to Wendy to wrap us up.
So with all of that, the goal was to get feedback and input from the public, but now what? That's the big question. And so from our perspective, when we're looking at all the input, you know, and what Jesse was talking about, is now comes the time to consider what role this space plays in Griffith Park, you know, potentially explore looking at some of those uses that were most appealing to the community. You have a sense now of what those are, and you can start thinking about how that fits into the big picture. And as sites are being, or as uses are being considered, then other things will come up, like looking at whether or not RAP should be operating the use itself. Should there be a concessioner? Should there be another partner for implementation and management? What does that look like? And it really is use dependent, I would think. And lastly, it's, you know, identifying those funding needs and potential sources for new uses. So with that, we hand all of this information over to you for your deliberation and questions of us if you have any.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, Wendy and Richard, thank you very much for the depth and the information that you provided. It's very helpful as we consider alternatives moving forward. With that, are there any questions of Richard or Wendy and her team on the alternative uses, considerations, the report? No questions? Waiting for Commissioner Hutton. She's going through her notes. No rush. While we're waiting, question for maybe Matthew. Do we have a current strategic plan for Griffith Park?
No, not at this time.
We don't. Okay. And then there was made reference to a park line. Can you describe what the park line was?
Yes. So prior to COVID, we had a Parkline shuttle that was being funded through our revenue that we were generating from parking. And that shuttle would provide access to multiple locations throughout Griffith Park because parking can be challenging. You know, not everybody has a vehicle, so it would allow for people to come into the park and utilize that free shuttle service to get around to the observatory or, you know, viewpoints of the Hollywood sign, et cetera.
And with regard to the strategic plan, so is there a guiding document that, you know, if we're thinking this, I love the title of this report is Reimagining the Griffith Park Pony Ride Site. So as we think about the five alternatives, 7 considerations that were presented to us, you know, one of the directions I want to get is for you guys to come back to the commission. And I do like the recommendations and things to think about that are on page with the last page of the report. You know, consider the roles the site plays in the larger context of Griffith Park and how to connect users here to other uses in Griffith Park. Consider exploring the implementation of one or a combination of uses that were presented that the community found most appealing. Evaluate the potential for RAP to operate the site, or alternatively look for potential long-term project partners for implementation and management, use dependent, of course, and then identifying funding needs and potential sources. I think those are very good recommendations. But as you guys go back to take in all of this as a staff and a team, I'm just thinking in my mind, you know, if this were considered a hole in the donut of Griffith Park, what would be the highest and best use for RAP's park needs for Griffith Park? In addition to what the community has presented to us to consider as alternative uses.
Thank you. Noted.
Thank you. One question. I read the report and the things. What was the most potential for revenue? What was the biggest low cost? But the straight question I have is this important that we generate revenue at the site? How important it is in the larger plan of Griffith? Right? Like how much, since it's been closed, replace that with the new, that create revenue, or are we trying to create something that's just best used for the community?
So I think for the pony rides, I think we didn't make a significant amount of money there. It was very minimal. I think $250,000 was what the revenue was generated annually. It's more about an accessible experience, and we can certainly take that under consideration and make sure that as we review these, that, you know, that's a consideration that we keep front of mind.
Yeah, and Brenda, just to add, Luis, is that, you know, I see it as an opportunity for the next 75 years, right? There's a lot of things that we're experiencing that are different. We've got the world, two events, the world is coming to Los Angeles, the FIFA World Cup in 26 and the Olympics in 2028. And, you know, those major sporting events can be used as accelerators. So I do think that there's a balance between the park needs from a recreation and parks department balanced against community serving uses that, you know, I'd like the staff to really look into as they evaluate all 7 of the alternatives and come back to us with some of the best thinking that balances those interests.
Some more funding questions. So as of right now, we have no kind of bucket of funding going towards the redevelopment of the site in any sort of way?
Correct.
Okay.
I think that was the consideration for, correct.
To the president's point, let's think about the next 75 years and not necessarily the low, middle, and high.
Fair point. Any other comments or questions? So report back to the commission and a recommendation from staff based on the findings in the report.
Will do, Madam President.
Okay. Anything else, Jimmy? Well, that's it. We'll be back to see you all on this Thursday, September 19th, 2024 at 9 a.m. We'll be at the Palisades Recreation Center, 851 Almaril Drive in Pacific Palisade, 90272.
Apologies. Just for formality's sake, there was a neighborhood council comment like section, so we just want to make sure that there isn't any.
Very good. With any neighborhood council comments?
We have not received such comments.
Thank you, Stephen. So we'll see you at Pacific Palisades Recreation Center. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for your public comment.